Begin the current daf Masechtas Chulin daf Lamed Alf. Begin 7 lines down with the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which is discussing different ways of deviations of slaughtering. So the Mishnah said, "Hayishchet v'hitiz v'chulav." Let's say someone was slaughtering, and although he was going in that sawing type of a motion, not just in a chopping, pressing motion, but he ended up cutting off the head with one movement. So that the Mishnah said, if the knife has what's called maloid tzaver, if it has the full length of the knife, is the width of the neck of the animal, then it's kosher. V'chulu, etc. So on that qualifies the Gemara and Zera, as we had explained this halach in the Mishnah. Maloid tzaver, when the Mishnah says that the length of the knife has to be the width of the neck, it's v'chutz letzaver. You also need it to be beyond the neck of the animal. And don't say it specifically means to say that only the width of the neck of the animal has to be the length of the knife, because then you wouldn't be able to do a full sawing movement, motion, and getting the whole neck without pressing down. It means and beyond the neck. Now, Ibayilu, the following question. This Reb Zera says you need also chutz letzaver, beyond the neck. What does he mean? He means when the Mishnah says malay tzaver, you need the length of the width of the neck, the chutz letzaver ki malay tzaver, and that additionally you need beyond the neck another length of the width of a neck. So you need to have the length to be the width of two necks. The havalu trei tzaver, that's two necks. Idemo, no. Malay tzaver, when the Mishnah says you need to have the width of the neck, the chutz letzaver, and that Reb Zera qualifies you need beyond the neck, is mashu, is a small amount, just to have a little bit beyond that, but not exactly just the width of the neck. What did he mean? Says Gemara, Tashma, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Mishnah said, another case. Said, Hayishchet, if let's say the person was slaughtering, v'hitis shnei roshim v'asachas, and he cut off the heads of two animals in one movement, in one shot. So the Mishnah said, "Miyesh besaka maloy tzaver echad." If the knife has the length of the width of one neck, then it's gonna be kosher. Now says the Gemara, "My maloy tzaver echad." What does the Mishnah mean when it says for the length of the knife to be the thickness of one neck? If you really think to say that the knife is only the length of the thickness of one neck, how can you say that? If when you're cutting the neck of one animal, be'inon, as Reb Zera had described, the minimum that he's saying you need to have is malay tzaver v'chutz letzaver. You need to have beyond the thickness of the neck, you need also to be able to go beyond the neck. So b'shtei behemah sagalu k'malay tzaver echad, would you think to say that when you're cutting two animals' necks, that would be enough if the whole entirety of the knife is the thickness of one neck? Rather, it's obvious. What does the Mishnah mean when it says malay tzaver, that when you're cutting the neck of two animals, it needs to be the thickness of a neck? It's chutz l'shnei tzavarin, meaning beyond the two necks. More than that, the knife has to be also a third necks in length. Beyond that, that's where it has to be malay tzaver. Shema menah, malay tzaver. So obviously we can infer that when the Mishnah said also when you're cutting one animal's neck, there has to be malay tzaver, it means chutz l'tzaver. Besides the neck itself that you have to cut with the knife, the length of the knife has to be, in addition, another malay tzaver. Shema menah, obviously we infer from there that this Reb Zera is qualifying. Malay tzaver v'chutz l'tzaver is not just a little bit more, but rather the knife has to be an additional neck's length, the width of a neck in the length of the knife. So therefore you need to have the length of two necks animals when you're cutting one animal, if you're going only in one motion for it to be qualified. Now, on that, the Mishnah itself had qualified, but when do we say it has a certain measurement that it has to be? It's bisman shahoylich v'lohevi v'chulu, if you're going forward and you're not coming back, or coming back and not going forward. However, if you're going in a sawing motion, then the Mishnah said, even if it's just a small amount, even if it's just the size of an izamel, a small scalpel, a small thin razor knife, it'd be enough to do a slaughtering. Now, Amr Ben Ashi, say he qualifies what the Mishnah said, that it's good even with a nizemel, is bizemel she'en lo karnayim. It's only a scalpel, a small knife that doesn't have horns, because it was normative in Talmudic times to make these small types of protrusion, horn-like protrusion for the scalpels, to beautify it on the top, which was towards the head of the scalpel. Now, since it's very small, so it could fall out from the area of where it's being cut on the neck. So therefore, when the person's doing a sawing motion on the neck, you have to be concerned either that it might burrow into the simanim, because it's very small, it could slip in between the simanim, or it might make a hole through those protrusions. And therefore, says Rav Menashe, this is the Mishnah allows even the small razor to use the slaughtering. You don't need a measurement to be going back and forth. It's only the zemel that doesn't have these horns. Now, however, ask the Gemara, Amli Rav Acha Barid, Rav Avila, Rav Menashe, says, okay, so you tell me in the Mishnah it could be even so small, machta mai, can you slaughter even with a needle? So Amalei says, no, machta mivza baza, a needle, when you're going in a, yes, you said so small a razor you can go back and forth, but when you're going back and forth with a needle, since it's very pointy, it's going to end up making a hole in the in the simanim, in the trachea and in the esophagus, and it's not going to be cutting it. It's going to be making a hole, so it's not going to qualify as a good slaughtering. But that asked the Gemara, but machta de ushkafi. What's with the awl, which is also a small type of a knife that similarly has a point like a needle. However, it's a little bit different than this case that we just described before from needle, because this awl of the leather makers, its sides of that knife are sharp, and they would use it to cut the laces of the strips of the leather. So my, what's halach over there? Would that be qualified as even a very small blade to use for slaughtering? So Malaysia said them tinina, we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, a filakoshun, even if it's so small, if you're going back and forth, it's going to be qualified for a proper knife for slaughtering. My lav machta dushkafi, isn't it talking about this small awl of the leather makers, that's going to be good? So Gemalai, no, that wouldn't be good. It's izemel. It's the scalpel that we're referring to when it's even a kosher that's going to be kosher. On that he asked back, izemel, the head you're talking about, what do you mean? The izemel, the scalpel is explicitly mentioned. How could that be what I mean when it says kosher if it says izemel? Says the Gemara, no, Pirisha Kumafarish. He's explaining. My kosher, what I mean to say, even a small blade is going to be valid, is his emel as a scalpel, but this other machta dishkafi that's even small and that has a pointy blade, that it has a point at the end, that won't be valid. And he says, it's actually logical to say like we're answering. Because the Isagadaitach Mashka Dushkafi, if you would think that when we say even a kosher means to say this type of a blade from the leather makers, well then Hashtamach Dushkafi Shari. But then if kosher is referring to this smaller blade of the leather maker, so Izemel Mibai, do we have to say a scalpel is going to be valid? Of course not. Rather, it must be because it's just explaining it and it's only talking about the Izemel. And that Gemara rejects the proof. No, you could say Yizemel Itztrichle. You could say actually Machta Dushkafi is okay, and that's what it's referring to when it says Kalshu. And yet still we have to say the Chiddush that Yizemel is also could be used. Why? Salkatadach, I mean, you would think to say Ligzer Yizemel Shein LeKarnayim, that we should make a rabbinic decree when you have the scalpel that doesn't have the horn-like protrusions, Atu Yizemel Shesh LeKarnayim, because then you might use the Yizemel, the scalpel that has those horn-like protrusions, which could be problematic. Kamash Malam, that's what's saying, that even Yizemel, but the truth is, could be Machta Dushkafi is what's included in Kol Shu, but there's not a raya from our Mishnah when it says that after the Kol Shu case, that it mentions even Yizemel, because could be Yizemel is a Chiddush, even after you already say Machta Dushkafi is okay. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, turning to the themes regarding these halachas of slaughtering and deviations in that. It says the Mishnah, Nafla Sakan Meshachata. If the knife falls and it slaughters the animal in the right way, says the Mishnah, Avapi Shashachta Kedarka, even though it's slaughtered in the appropriate way, so that's invalid. Shnemaka says the pasuk in the Devar. It says, Vizavachta V'yachalta. You should slaughter and you should eat. Which tells us, Mashato Zeveachata Echel. What you slaughtered, you could eat. But if you didn't slaughter, if it wasn't done through a person, if it just fell, then it's not valid. The Gemara makes an interesting deek. The Gemara says, "Taima de nafla." It's because the knife fell. Ha he pilohu, but if he makes it fall, then sure it's going to be valid. Vavagav delay mechaven. Even though he's not intending for it to be slaughtering, his intention was just to have the knife fall down. Says the Gemara, "Saman tan delay bein kavan l'shchita." Who's the tan of our Mishnah that says you don't have to have intent when you're slaughtering, as long as it was done through a person, even though he just made it fall, as long as it didn't fall by itself, it's going to be valid slaughtering. Some Rav, he says, Reb Nassan, it's Reb Nassan. Because the Tani Oishia Zi'irib Demin Chavraya, where there's a discussion where you put the comma, Rashi says either it means to say that he was the youngest of the yeshiva students, which means his name was Oishia, and he was Zi'irib Demin Chavraya, he was the youngest of the Chavra, of the group. Or Rashi says what he prefers is that actually his name was Oishia Zi'ira, the young Oishia. And he was from the Chavraya, he was from the Bnei Yeshiva, so then the comma would be after the word Zi'ira. But either way, he taught the following brisa. Zarek Sakin Lonoit Sabukaisal. So much throwing a knife just to have it get pushed into and pressed into the wall. Is it throwing knives in the wall? Vahalcha Vashachta Katarka. And as he's throwing the knife, an animal walks by, boom, slaughters it in the appropriate way. So Reb Nosson Machshir says it's valid. Macham Paisin says it's possible. So you see, Reb Nosson holds, you don't have to have kavanah v'shchita. Even if you're just throwing it or throwing it down, if it ends up slaughtering, it was done through a human being, it's going to be valid. Whereas the Chacham, they're the ones who say it's invalid. Now, who Tanila? This Oishia, he had taught this Brisa from his teacher. Vuamalan, he on his own says, Halacha Krib Nosna, Halacha Falsa Krib Nosna, which is like the anonymous opinion in our Mishnah, that's only if it fell by itself it's possible, but if it fell through a human being, then it's going to be kasha. Now, on this as the Gemara, Vuamar Rava Chadazimna, Rav already said this idea one time before. In other words, the Gemara's question is, why did we need Rav in our Gemara to make an inference from our Mishnah to say, oh, It's only if it fell by itself that it's a problem. But if it fell through a human being, then it's going to be valid. To tell us that the Stam Tana of our Mishnah is like Reb Nosson, Rav already told us this once before, that we have an anonymous Mishnah like Reb Nosson to say that Allah is like Reb Nosson. So why does he have to repeat it again? It's not like we learned in the first Mishnah in Amasech, Dav Bezim and Alf. The Mishnah says, V'kulin sheshachatu, all those who are generally invalid to slaughter, like a cher, a shayt, a bekatan, the deaf mute, the mentally deranged, and the minor, but v'chem roi naisen, however, if others are looking over them as they're doing the slaughtering, shechtasin k'sher, then the Mishnah said their slaughtering is valid. Now, Vermina, we said, Man Tana, who's the Tana, the anonymous Tana of our opening Mishnah, Bar Masech, to lay boy kavan l'shchita, that doesn't require intent for slaughtering, because minors and cheresh and shaita, they don't have das, they don't have intelligence to intend it to be a slaughtering. And yet we're saying that it's valid if others are watching, just making sure they did it okay. Vamarav, and he says, you know who it is, Reb Nosson, he. So he already says that idea in the opening Mishnah Masech, why does he have to repeat it here in our Mishnah, Daf Lam and Alf, and Alf? Says the Gemara Tzricha, it was necessary for Rav to tell us by both. Why? The Ashmin Hasim, had we only had the opening Mishnah in the Masechta, Mishum de Kumachav and Lashum Chaticha Ba'olim, you would say, because ultimately, the Chereshai de Vakatan, they're not having a mind for Shechita, that intelligence they don't have, but they know they're cutting something, and that's why it's going to be valid. Aval Hachat, like Kumachav, but over here, where there was no intention whatsoever even to do a cutting, had we not had Rava to tell us the inference, we would not have made that inference on our own to say, oh, but if it fell through a human being, it's going to be valid. Because we would have said that even if it was felled through a human being, emaloi, I would say no. I would say that actually it is possible. But it's the halacha of the mission itself, not its dig, that was necessary to say. It was just necessary to say what you slaughter, you could eat, that you need to have the slaughtering come from the strength of a person. And that's what Rava has to come along and tell us, that no, to make the inference from our Mishnah too, from the fact that it didn't say, if he felled the knife, or he threw the knife, that it's going to be possible, and it only says it fell by itself, to tell you that even if it was, if it felled by a person, or if it was thrown by a person, then it's going to be valid. Now Rashi points out, why does the Gemara only ask, that Rava already said this once before, why doesn't the Gemara ask, the halacha was already said once before in the Tanoik source. The reason is because the Mishnais don't say this halacha explicitly, that it was felled through a human being, it's going to be kosher. It's only Rav's dig. And that the Gemara is asking, you already made the dig once before, and that's what the Gemara says, no. Had you had that Mishnah over there, you would have said, because ultimately the intent was at least for a cutting, even though not for a shechita. In contrast, here it wasn't even for a cutting. Therefore, you have to say in our Mishnah also that Reb Nosson is going to hold, and the Stam Mishnah is telling us like him, that it's going to be valid. Now, Vyesh Minahoch, had we only had our Mishnah, we would say, okay, even though he's not intending even for a cutting, let alone for a slaughtering, but Mishum de Kasim Kayach Bendas, it's still at least coming from an intelligent human being, and hence, therefore, we consider it as a valid slaughter. Aval Hasim de Kasim Kayach Bendas, but there, when it's not coming from an intelligent human being, even though it's intending for cutting, therefore, then maybe we'd say that it's not valid. Aim Aloy, I would say not. Tzrich, that's what I have to say also over there, that the halach is inferring, like Reb Nosson, that you don't have to have das for shechita, whether it's coming not from a person that has das, or even from a person that has das, but is not intending for cutting. Either way, it's going to be a valid shechita, as long as it was coming through a human being. However, the contrast is, let's say, in our Mishnah, where it had no human being, it just fell by itself, only then is it going to be possible. Now, continuing on this theme regarding not having das in regards to a halacha, Sidma, we learned as follows. Nida shenensa v'tavla. A menstruating woman, a woman who had been a nida, who has to purify herself in the mikveh and immerse herself. If, let's say, beyond her control, she was immersed in the mikveh, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what was the einus, what happened beyond her control that she became immersed in the mikveh. So we have a machlokes. I'm reviewing the Merav. He says tahira labesa. She's pure to go home, meaning to have relations with her husband, meaning in regards to the laws of Nida in Yerideya, of menstruation, regarding that, she's considered pure, because ultimately she had tefillah in the mikveh. But vasur lecha b'truma, but she's still forbidden to partake of truma, which is a different halacha, not regarding hilchas Nida of Yisur, but rather the laws of tumah and tahara, she's still considered tamei, that she would not be permitted to partake of truma, like a woman who was in Nida and didn't have a tefillah. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he says, no, afla beisa loy tara, she's not even pure to go home, she's even considered a need in regard to the laws of having relations with her husband. Now, Amalei Rav of Nachman, yes, l'rav da amatari l'beisa v'asur lecha b'truma, according to Rav, that differentiates. Rabbi Yechonam says, no, the tefillah was not good for anything. But according to Rav, that says, it is good for her to have relations with her husband. And she's forbidden, however, to still partake of truma. The question is as follows. Avin karis hutra. So essentially he's saying that somebody has a very severe punishment of even karis, which is what the laws of Nida are, if a menstruating woman has relations with her husband. For that, he says she's permitted. But isra misa mebaya, but regarding something that's only what's called misa b'dei shemaim, that you're going to say, as Rav does, that she's still forbidden? Meaning a person that's tamei, like a nida who partakes of truma, only gets misab de shemaim, death at the hands of heaven, as the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, karis, which is what a woman who's a nida who has relations with her husband, is more severe than misab de shemaim. Because there, not only does the person die young, the person's children also die, like it says, arim yiyu. So how could it be that Rav says that for the more severe penalty, she is okay, but the less severe, she's not okay? So Malay, Sanhedrin of Nachman responded, he says, because that's not the qualifying feature. It's because by lechulin hu, for her husband, that's a mundane purpose. That's not with regards to laws of truma and tahara and kadshim. So therefore, since she had immersion in the mikvah, v'chulin le'bay kavana, for mundane purposes, you don't need to have intent. She had immersion, so therefore she's permitted for her husband. And kadshim for truma, which is something that's kadshim, that's something that you need to have intent, and since she didn't have intent, she just was forcibly immersed in the mikvah, that's why she's still forbidden for truma. Now that the Gemara says, and from where do you say this, that for chulin, for mundane purposes, you don't need to have intent for it to be halachically qualified? So says the Gemara, it's not like, learn the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvais. The Mishnah says, gal shenitlash, a wave that was detached from the sea, a huge wave that got detached, that went up into the air, ubayar bamsa, and that huge wave has 40 sa of water in it, which is the requisite shear of a mikvah. V'nafal ala adam alakeyam, and it fell down on a person and on vessels. Says the Mishnah Tahrim, those people and Kalim, if they were Tameh, they're Tahar now. Now, says the Gemara, my love Adam Domin de Kalim. Aren't we equating people and vessels getting purified? Which is Ma Kalim Dulay Mechamni, just like vessels have no intent because there's no intelligence in the vessel. And still they're becoming purified. Af Adam Namal Bay Kavan. It's telling us also the person doesn't need intent. So you see that for regular mundane purification process, that a person could become Tahar even without intent. That is the Gemara Mimai. From where do you know that to prove from this Mishnah Mikvais? I could tell you the exact opposite. Dilma b'yeshivu mitzapa askinan emas ayit l'shagal. I could tell you that maybe, actually, that case is talking about where the people were sitting and waiting and anticipating when's that monsoon, when's that big, huge wave coming that's going to get detached. So they are having das. And to the contrary, as a ketin tamad beis, v'kelem dumi da'adam. And actually, you should compare the vessels to the people. That is a ma adam to be in kavana, just like the people need intent, and that's the case that was told about that they were intending and waiting, and that's why they're tar. Av kelim nami do komachav lo adam, and therefore the vessels also, you're right, they can't have their own intent, but it's that the people were intending for their vessels to become pure, which is considered das. So therefore, how can you prove from here that for chulin you don't need das? Maybe the case is to the contrary, comparing kelim to adam, that you do need to have das. And if you're going to say, well, then b'yeshiv mitzapa l'ma'al member, then what would be the chiddush in the Mishnah if they were sitting and anticipating and waiting for it? So of course they're having das, of course that's okay. Then what would be the chiddush of the Mishnah? I would tell you no. Ma'av detem, because what would you say? Ligzer mishum charad l'shal gesham. You would say that maybe actually the wave should not purify them. Why? Because we should make a rabbinic decree because of the rainfall that comes sweeping down from a mountain with force that you can't go ahead and immerse in that downfall from the mountain. Now, the reason for that is because that flow is not considered a connection. Therefore, you're not really in 40 sa of water at one time, because although the water is attached on the flow down the mountain, it's not considered in one place. And you need to have 40 sa in one place, even though there's a lot of water on top and the bottom of the mountain, but that's not considered attached. Well, that's what the word chardless either means, the flow on the incline, or like Rav Hai actually has the gear, it's a chardless, which is from the word of like midol yishal har, from the downpour of from the mountain. But either way, you would think that no, that you shouldn't be, we wouldn't let you be purified, even if you're waiting, anticipating, have das to be mitar with the end of the wave, because that might confuse with a similar type of phenomenon with rainwater coming down the mountain. Or inami, or another reason why you would have thought that we shouldn't allow it, is ligzer rushen utter kippin, that we should make a decree that no, we shouldn't let you be purified with the edge of the wave, because you might then come to purify with the arc, the middle part of the wave. Kamash malon de legedrina. Therefore, I could tell you that that's the chiddush of the Mishnah Mikvayis, that we don't make such a decree, and therefore, essentially, that's the Gemara's question. If so, how do you know that you don't need to have intent by chulin? We're not talking about, to the contrary, the Mishnah is teaching you that you do need intent, and we're comparing the Kalim to the Adam. And if you're having intent, so what's the Chiddush? That's what we're saying. Either that we don't make a Gzerah of Chardless, or we don't make a Gzerah of Rasha Atakipin. Now, continues and concludes the Gemara, Umanot Temedulem Advil Mekipin. How do we know that you can't immerse in the ark, in the middle part of the wave, and that's why maybe you would have thought we should make a Gzerah of Rasha Atakipin, and that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah Mekvayis that we don't? Because it's none, which is actually a Brisa, like we learned a Brisa. Matvilin, we could immerse vessels, b'roishin, on the tip, of the edge of the wave that got detached from the sea, which went a big distance and crashed down on land. And then a person put his head beneath the edge of the wave and it came down crashing on him. Now, the reason why that's considered a valid immersion is because now it's attached to the ground. That big, huge wave come crashing on the person, now that you have the 40 saw in one place on the ground. So that's valid. But ve'im matvilim bekeepin, but you cannot immerse in the middle of the wave. In other words, a person is not allowed to throw up a vessel into the middle of that wave that's coming over, which in the middle, which is made like an arc, as the Braisa explains, because that's essentially immersing something in air, in mid-air. And the halacha is she'matvilim ba'avir, you can't immerse in the air. The edge of the wave is already crashing down on the ground, that's connected. So therefore, concludes the Gemara, so then how do you know, as you're trying to explain for the Halacha of Rav, that something that's for mundane purposes and you don't need to have intent, how do you know it from? You can't know it from the Mishnah Mikvahs. Because to the contrary, I can tell you that there is Tumah where there was Kavana, and so too you have to have Kavana for your vessels. And the Chiddush again is either that you're not Geyser because of the downflow of the mountain, or because you don't make a Gzera of Rosh and Atur Kippin. So says the Gemara Ditnan, the proof is from a Mishnah Masechtas Machshirin. The Mishnah says, if someone's produce fell into a stream of water, now upashit mishayadav tameis v'natlan. So someone went to grab the produce from the stream and get it out, and the person who went to grab it, his hands were tamei, were impure, and he took them. So says the Mishnah, yadav tahiris. His hands become pure, which this is the proof. Why? Because although he's not intending to immerse his hands, but you don't need to have intent for mundane purposes when it's just for chulin purposes. So that's the proof that we're proving from this Mishnah, that his hands become pure, even though he's not intending to immerse him, he's just going to grab, he doesn't even know about these halachas possibly, he's just going to grab that guy's produce from the stream, his hands become pure. However, uperis einan b'chiyutan, the produce does not get qualified in what's called kiyutan. Kiyutan is the concept that produce only becomes hukshul lekabel tuma, susceptible to becoming tamei, if they became in contact with one of seven types of liquids, one of them being water. Now, the pasuk says, kiyiten, which is pronounced kiyutan, which is that you need to have that you wanted this to happen, just like as if kiyutan, when you do it yourself, what you're doing with das, kiyutan is that you like what happened to it. In this case, he had no intention whatsoever for the produce to fall into the water. He didn't have no utility at all for this water. He never wanted anything from this water. So therefore, that wouldn't qualify that as if you desired it to get wet. And therefore, it's not considered as if it came in contact with one of the seven liquids, which has to be only if you wanted it, for it to be mekalu tama. But, says the Mishnah, v'im b'shvil sheyutchu, but if let's say, when he went to get the person's produce, he also said, you know what, my hands are tummy anyway, let me go help this guy and get his produce from the stream, and he intends to wash off his hands as he's dipping it in. That was his intention when he went to take the produce from the water. Oh, so then, of course, as we said before, Yad of Tyrus, for sure in this case, where he's having intention for it to be purified, for sure it's going to be purified. And here, Uperis Bechiyutan, here the produce will become susceptible to tumma in what's known as Kiyutan, that if water is going to be placed in it with his desire, and hence it's going to be Mekabel tumma from here on on. Because ultimately, he had a machshava regarding this fallen produce to take it out with his hands. So therefore, this liquid of water, at the end of the day, was willingly that he had a utility for that water, because he wants it now to be metar yadav. And the Mishnah Machshirin in the first Mishnah in that Masechta says, whenever there's utility that you desire for that liquid, even if only at the end, even though in the beginning you didn't want it, it's still going to be able to machshir the produce of Kabbalah Tumah, and therefore it's going to be Kabbalah Tumah. But again, one thing that we see from this Mishnah proves that we're trying to, what we tried explaining for this halach of Rav, that how could the more severe thing be mutter and the less severe thing be aser? It's because the less severe thing is kachim, is truma, and the more severe thing is chulin. Chulin does not need kavana, so the isha shenensa betavla is going to work. However, the Gemara asks, Esvei Rav of Nachman. Rav asks Rav Nachman, who's trying to say this approach, that you don't need to have kavana by chulin, from a Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga. Mishnah says, Tava l'chulin. Someone immersed himself for chulin, meaning because he wants to eat chulin, unconsecrated produce. And v'huchzik l'chulin. And his intention was, when he was immersing, was like, okay, I'm immersing myself so I can be able to partake of unconsecrated produce. And he wanted to eat in a state of purity. So that's the Mishnah, so asa l'maisa. So he's still forbidden to partake of maisa because he only purified himself for a lower level of chulin, but not for the higher level of maisa. But one thing says, Rava is huchzakin. You see that only if his intention was that he was established, he was doing it for chulin, then he's at least purified for chulin. But if he wasn't even intending when he immersed for chulin, then even for chulin he's not going to be. So you see, you do need kavana for chulin. Says Gemara, no, hachakam. This is what the Mishnah is saying over there. Truthfully, for chulin you don't need to have intent. This that it said huchzik that he had intent was telling us the other part of the chiddush, that af apisha huchzik lechulin, that even though he had intent when he immersed himself to purify himself at least for chulin utility, that still asa lemaisa, that kavana that he had for chulin is not going to be useful for having kavana for maisa, and that's the chiddush. But for chulin itself, you don't need to have kavana. But the Gemara continues asking esavay from that same Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if he immersed and he had no intention whatsoever, it's like he didn't even immerse himself. Says the Gemara, isn't it saying that as if he didn't immerse at all, and it's not going to even work for chulin? So you see, you do need kavanah for chulin. Says the Gemara, no, here also what it means to say is, it's as if he didn't immerse for meiser, but of course it is considered a valid immersion for chulin because you don't need intent for chulin. Now, who suffered the chuyi komatchile? Rava thought that Rav Nachman was just pushing him away and giving him reject type of answers, which are not really bona fide, but just to find a way out. However, nok dok va'ashkech t'tanya. He went out, he investigated, and he found that actually a braisa says the way Rav Nachman's answering. That what does it mean, tavav alehochzik, that if he immersed and he didn't have any kavana whatsoever, says the braisa clearly, mutar l'chulun, he is permitted for chulun, va'as l'maisa, and is only forbidden for maisa, because again, for chulun, you don't need to have kavana. Now, however, now the Gemara goes the other way. So all this along was explaining the opinion of Rav, who says mutter lebeisa for her husband, but asa letruma, because beisa is chulin, and you see chulin does not need to have kavana. So amalei abayla Rav Yosef. So yes, let's say there should be a refutation of Rabbi Yechanan, who he had said that she's even forbidden lebeisa for her husband, which is chulin things that she's not purified. Meha from this halacha, you see clearly that chulin does not need to have kavana. So why is she forbidden to her husband? So Amalei said to him, "No, Rabbi Yechanan who damek Rabbi Yehudas and Ben Yosef." You're right. Here we see that chulin does not need to have kavana, which is like Rav, but Rabbi Yechanan says that she's still forbidden to her husband. He's like a different tana, like Rabbi Yehudas and Ben Yosef. The tana like Linda Brisa. Rabbi Yehudas and Ben Yosef, Aimer, he says, Pasuk says, "Meyikra v'chubas." What this is in context of the halachas of Negoim, of a nega, specifically on begadim, on the garments. So it says two times there in the parasha regarding washing the person's clothing. The first time the washing, it says, V'chibsu asher b'hanega v'izgira, you first wash the garment that has a nega, and then you seclude it, you put in your masgirit, you put it, you lock it up for a week. And then you want to see at the end of the week, did it spread, did it stay, did it get lighter? Now, then it says the second time washing the garment, after you had done that hezger, which was after the first time you washing, which it says, V'habeger ashasiyo erva kukli asher t'chabes, which is the first time you wash it, is before you lock it up for a week. And then, if the nega goes away after the first week of locking up, then you wash it a second time, which is for the purposes of tvila, of immersing, for the purposes of purifying it. Now, the question is, in that pasuk, when it says v'chubas, when you're washing it the second time, matam ala mishenis, says Rabbi Yehudas ben Yosef, why does it say that you wash it a second time? Obviously, we know it's the second time. We said the first time is when before you lock it up, right away when you see the nega, and it says after the week that you wash it. Why say the second time? We know that it's the second time. So on that, says Rabbi Yehudas ben Yosef, makish tachbeis shneiv, because we want to equate when we say the second one, second is related to first, to compare the second washing, like we said, which is for the purposes of immersing it to be purified, to the first washing, which that's for different purposes. That's for it to be locked up for the week. Which is matach vayses rishayin ladas, just like the first washing has to be with the person's intention, like it says in the pasuk v'tziv ha'koin v'chibsoi, that the koin commands and he washes it, which is with intent. Avtach vayses shni ladas, also the second washing has to be with intent, not that the water should just fall on it by itself. That's the idea we're saying, that even for chulin purposes, you need to have das, even though this is just for regular tahara, not for purposes like truma. Now, but then imala halim bin das kain, but then maybe you would say just like over there by the first washing, you need to have the kain's intent. Like it says the kain commanded, afkam bin das kain. So maybe also over here you would need the intent of the kain by the second washing. Tamalamavatar, that's it says and be purified, mikamakam in all situations. But one thing you see that even for chayil, even for mundane purposes, you need to have intent, and that's a source for Rabbi Yechanan that she's still forbidden to her husband when it was neither nensa batavla, because even for chulin he holds like this tana that you still require intent. Maskevler of Simeon bar Ashi, he says, does Rabbi Yechanan really say this like we're explaining that she's still asur lebeisa to her husband because chulin for mundane purposes you need to have intent? But Vam Rabbi Yechon says, as we quote this many times in Shas, Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Halacha is like an anonymous Mishnah. Which Nan, in our Mishnah, is an anonymous Mishnah, and it says, Nafla Sakin Veshachata. If a knife falls by itself and it slaughters, so the Mishnah says, Av Bishachta Kedarka Psula, even though it did a proper slaughter, it's invalid. Now, Vavinba, and we had asked on this, it sounds like Tamad Nafla, only because it fell by itself. But if a person made it fall, then it's going to be valid. Even though he's not intending for it to be a slaughtering. Vamina, we said, who is the town that holds that you don't need to have intent for slaughtering? So Amar Rav, he says, Ramnasin, it's Ramnasin. But one thing you see is that for chulin purposes, a regular mundane animal that you're slaughtering, not for kachin purposes, that you don't need to have intent. And Rabbi Yechon says, Allah is like a stam Mishnah. So you don't need to have intent. How can we quote him saying that for chulin purposes, for Isha Labala, that you do need to have intent? Says the Gemara, no. Beshchita, in regards to halacha of our Mishnah regarding slaughtering, yes, Rabbi Yechon holds halacha is like the Stam Mishnah. Because there are filled Rabbi Yenis and Min Yosef, even Rabbi Yenis and Min Yosef, who Rabbi Yechon is going based on his Tanoic opinion, even he would agree that it's going to be valid without intent. Why? Because Mindigali Rachamanim is asking by Kachim, the fact that Torah reveals to us that there's an invalidation by Kachim by Karbanis, that if one is preoccupied when he in getting sidetracked when he's slaughtering Kachim and he's not having Kavana, that it's going to be puzzle. Like the Pasuk says, L'Ritzayinchem Tizbachu, which the Gemara in the first paragraph of Yud Gimel Alef expounds, L'Daitchem Zabaychu, you have to slaughter with your intent. So if the Torah is telling us that regarding Kachim, Mechlal, the Chulam, like being the Kavana. The inference is obviously that mundane animals that you're slaughtering don't need to have intent. So that inference is telling us that Chulam is different. But you're right. In general, you do need to have intent, even for Ish Labala. Shechita is different because the Torah is telling us it's only problem by Kachim and not by Chulam. But then the Gemara asks, then Rabbanan, who had quoted them before, that they disagree with Rav Nassin, and they say, V'chacham Paislam, that they say that it's going to be possible, not like the halacha of our Mishnah, that even if it was felled by a person, it's going to be possible. How could you say that? Aren't we saying now that the Torah only tells us the problem of Mes'asik by Kadshim, which tells us by Chulin it is going to be okay? So even if you didn't have intent, but if it's done through a human being, it should be valid. Why do the Chacham say it's going to be possible? Says the Gemara, no, because Nehidu Lebi'in and Kavan L'Zvicha, because although, yes, as we're proving, that you don't need to have intent for the slaughtering, it's only by Kachim that you need to have intent for the slaughtering, but L'Chaticha Be'inan, but you have to at least have intent for the cutting. Here you're not even having intent for cutting, you're just making it cause it to fall, you're just throwing it. And since you didn't have intent even for cutting, let alone for slaughtering, that's why the Rabban say it's going to be possible. Because although only for slaughtering, it's only by Kachim, but at least by cutting you need to have even by Chulin. On that, Amar Rabbi says, "Abahazikinu Reb Nosson Rabbanan." This is where Reb Nosson wins over the opinion of the Rabbanan. Where, in other words, he's saying that I definitely prefer what Reb Nosson is saying more than the Rabbanan, because Miksev v'chatachta. Does the pasuk say you should cut? No, it's a vachtiksev. It says that you should slaughter. In other words, ibein and kavana lechaticha. If you need to have intent for cutting, then afilas zvicha namal by then you should even need to have intent for the slaughtering. And eloi bein kavana lezvicha, like the Rabban are admitting that that's only absolved by mesasik bekachim, that you don't need to have intent for the slaughtering. Then lechaticha namal by you don't have to have intent for cutting either, because there's no element of cutting regarding slaughtering. It says to slaughter. If you don't need to have intent for slaughtering, you don't need to have intent either for cutting, and therefore the halacha would seem to be like the halacha of a star mishnah, like Reb Nosson, that it's going to be valid as long as it was done by a person, even if he didn't have intent even for cutting. Now, going back to what started this conversation, the Gemara says, Heched dame nida shenensa v'tabla. What is this case that we said that this machlik is Rabbi Rabbi Yechon regarding a nida who, beyond her control, she was immersed in the mikveh, which we had this machlikis that we were explaining the opinion of Rabbi Rabbi Yechon regarding chulin purposes of Muteris Labala? Do you need to have kavana? Do you not need to have kavana? But what's the case that we're talking about? If you say beyond the control is because her friend forcibly pushed her down into the mikveh and immersed her, then the question is, kavana de chaverta, kavana mal yasihi. The intent of her friend is a valid intent. So why would Rabbi Yechonon say that she's a sur labala? Even Rabbi Yechonon should agree she's Muteris Labala, because the immersion of a friend is considered valid intent, so there was intent. Void, moreover, according to everyone, betrumaname achla, which is a question according to both Rav and Rabbi Yechonon, she should even be able to partake of truma, which even though we said there is a higher level of intent, but even though she's not having intent because she was nensa, her friend's intent is valid. It's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. Mishnah says hachareshes, a deaf mute woman, or vashaita, mentally deranged, vasumo, if she's blind, or vashanit vadaita, or she lost her mind. If they have sane women who help them out, who check them during their time or their period, and they go and they immerse themselves when they have to be immersed, Eichlis b'truma. They could partake of truma because even though they don't have their own das, the other women who do it for them, their das is valid. So then how could that be the case of Isha Shenenta b'tavlo? According to everyone, everything should be good because of her friend's intent. Rav the Amra Papa, he says as follows. He says, you know what the case is regarding this Nida Shenenta b'tavlo? And he brings it back to the machlekes we have regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, which we said is machlekes Rav Nosson and the Rabbanan, as follows. How are we going to qualify the machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechanan? It depends according to whose opinion are we talking about. Rav Nosson, that he said that you don't have to have any intent whatsoever, like we found in the halacha of our Mishnah, even for cutting. So then the same thing is going to be over here. That Rav is going according to Rav Nosson, he would say, Shenafla min hagesher. We're talking about with a woman, she fell off a bridge, where she didn't even intend for bathing whatsoever. And on that is what Rav is saying, still it's going to work. You don't have to have any kavanah whatsoever, like Rav Nosson. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, even Rabbi Nosson, he would say that no, you cannot compare tevila, immersion, to slaughtering, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. Because as we mentioned before, he expounds the kubas shenis, that you wash the clothing the second time, that you find that we compare it to the first washing, that you do need to have kavanah, even for chulin. Shechita, the halacha of our Mishnah, is different, because there we expound from the pasuk to say that it is kosher, because from the fact that the pasuk only said that there's a psul mesasik by kachim, obviously that by chulin it's going to be valid. And therefore that's the machlokes regarding the pin of Reb Nosson. In the case of Nidush and Nansa Batavla, is it just like the case of Shechita, which Reb Nosson says that without any intent whatsoever, she didn't intend to bathe at all, she just fell into the water. Rav compares it, Rabbi Yechanan doesn't. And Ula Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that they require at least somewhat of intent, like in the halacha of our Mishnah, they say it's not enough even if a person fell from his hand. You have to have at least intent for cutting. So then the equivalent, the way Rav says it, that he says it is kosher, the nida labesa, to have relations with her husband, where the same thing would have to be on some modicum of a level, at least that there was some intent for immersion, it would be talking about shiyar de lahaker, where she went down into the mikveh, to the water, to the spring, to cool herself off, but not for immersion, and then she just slipped into the whole water, which that's the equivalent of the Rabbanan, that you don't have to have kavana regarding the shechita itself, but you have kavana for the chituch, for the cutting. That's where Rav would be saying, okay, it's the same thing, and therefore, if you just intended to cool off and then you slipped in, but ultimately you had the tefillah, that's enough, because you intended at least for bathing. And the Kodra B'yechna, again, he says that it's different, tefillah is different than the halacha of shechita, although by shechita, it's going to be enough, but by tefillah, like we said, that you have to have intent, that is the case, that's the machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan and Rav. Again, depending on whose Tanakh opinion we're going in, it would depend what's exactly the case. If it's like Rav Nosson, it's that she fell off of a bridge with no intent whatsoever. According to Rabbanan, there was some intent, but not a full intent for the tefillah itself. That's Malchikas Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, that you compare it exactly, or like Rabbi Yechanan, that you do not compare it, and therefore it's not going to be valid, even Labesa. Now, continuing on this Malchikas of our Mishnah, which was like Rav Nosson, and then the Rabbanan who disagree with that, Amar Rava, he says, Shachat Para. Someone slaughtered the Para Duma, the red heifer, v'shachad behema acheres ima, and then, together at the same time, he slaughtered another unconsecrated animal with it that he intended to slaughter. That's what the word v'shachad means. So then, l'divrei hakol, according to everyone, the paraduma is going to be psula. It's going to be invalid because you did another activity at the same time that you're doing the paraduma, which is invalidates it because you now do some other work. It's masiach das. It takes away your intention from doing the paraduma. But the other animal that you slaughtered, which is chulin, that's valid. That doesn't have any problem about being masiach das. That's going to be a valid slaughtering. Now, and that continues. Rav on the top of Lama Beis Manav. Nishchata behima acheres ima. Let's say he didn't slaughter another animal with it. Another animal got slaughtered. That's what we're changing from the word shacha to nishchata. Another animal got slaughtered with it unintentionally. So then it comes out that machlekes. L'Rav Nosson, that we quoted in the halacha of a Mishnah that validates slaughtering unconsecrated animal even without intent. So it's going to come out that par psula, the par duma, is going to be invalid. Why? Even though he's not having intent, he's not intending to slaughter the other animal. So therefore he was not masiach das, he did not remove his intention of only being focused on the par duma. So that shouldn't be called mesasik, being engaged with some other activity which is a psul by kachim. But the reason is actually related to the second half of his halacha. Because since the slaughtering of the behemoth is kashera, the slaughtering of the other unconsecrated animal is valid because Rav Nosson holds that you don't have to have kavan. It could happen by itself, at least if it happened through a human. So it's actually a different invalidation that invalidates the paraduma, not because of hesach adas. He didn't focus on anything else, but it's because of the pasuk says v'shachar oisah, but the paraduma it says to slaughter it, which is oisah v'lo oisah b'chaverte. He now has slaughtered another animal with it. So although it wasn't masir das, but ultimately he slaughtered another animal with it. That's what invalidates the paraduma. In contrast, l'rabbanon par kasher, according to rabbanon, the paraduma is going to be valid. Why? Because actually, and this is the inverse, since the slaughtering of the chulin animal is not valid, because it's not a slaughtering, because that's why it's related to the other half of the halacha, that behema psula. The other animal is invalid because it just fell out of his hand. It wasn't even lechaticha, it wasn't even for the purpose of cutting. So therefore, since there's no invalidation about doing a malacha, because you're not intending to do anything else when you're busy with this, because that happened by itself. You only focus on this, and the whole invalidation of doing some other malacha is because of hesach adas from the para. So where he didn't intend to do that other malacha, there's no hesach adas. As the Gemara says later on, that if let's say, as he's doing it, a gourd or a vegetable just ends up getting cut with it. So everyone would agree that's kosher. The only thing is that, but maybe there would be invalidation because ultimately another animal was slaughtered with it. That's only according to Rav Nosson. According to Rabban, it wasn't considered shechita. It's not valid because it didn't happen through the das of the person. So the Gemara asks on this halacha of Rava, well, pshita, obviously, what we think, we never heard this halacha that whoever's involved with the paraduma, he's going to invalidate if he's busy with some halacha with something else. So says the Gemara, nishchat behema acheris l'Rav Nosson itzrukle. What was necessary was the case of when another animal got slaughtered by mistake, where it slipped out of the person's hand, that was necessary. Why? Because like we said, in regards to malacha, there's two main variables that we're discussing. Regarding malacha, so that's not considered that when you did it without intent as a malacha. As the Gemara says later on, that if it happened to be that a gourd, a vegetable got cut with it, everyone's going to agree that it's going to be kosher. Now, if that's the case, so then when the other animal is slaughtered with it, even though it was not slaughtered with intent, that we say according to Rav Nosson that's considered shechita, and that's why we said according to him it's going to be pasul. But still, I would have said that it's not going to be possible, the paraduma. And that's the chiddush why we have to say this teaching of Rava. Why? Because Sagad Adchimina, you would have thought to say, V'shachat Oysam, Rachmana. What's the source why we said, according to Rav Nosson, that's going to be a problem? Because the Torah says you should slaughter it, which tells us, V'loy Oysa V'chaverta, and not the paraduma and its friend. Now, V'hechidami, what would that be talking about? K'gurin Shashachat Shtei Paris, when you're slaughtering two paradumas, B'had the Adadi together, that's a problem of V'shachat Oysa V'chaverta. But if with the paraduma you're slaughtering an unconsecrated animal, I would say actually that's not a problem because that's not oisav v'chaverta, that's some other random chulin animal. Kamash Balan, that's the chiddush of Rava's teaching that chulin is also included in oisav v'chaverta, and that's what's going to be possible according to Rav Nosson. But as Rashi points out, the reisha of Rava's teaching, which says if let's say that he intended also for another animal, that wasn't necessary at all because although that Oisa v'chaverta, we're saying that we would think is only by two paradumas, and they were talking about that the other one is a chulin, maybe that should also be a chiddush of Rava's teaching, that no, because that's the other variable. Since he's intending to do the shechita of the other animal, even if it wasn't an animal, the fact is you're being masir das, you're focusing on something else, that's not any less than just cutting a gourd, which if you intended to do would be invalid, as the Gemara continues right now, and therefore, that's not the chiddush. The only chiddush is if nishchato behema acheris, to say that when there's no psul of hesach adas, but still it's going to be a psul of oisa v'chaverta, even though it's chulin. As the Gemara concludes this discussion, chatach de las imof. Let's say as he's shechting the paraduma, he also cuts a vegetable with it. Devei hakol psula. Everyone's going to agree that it's going to be possible the paraduma because you did some other activity at the same time and you're not being totally 100% focused on the paraduma. Whereas nechtachat de las imof, as we were recording this halacha before, if it happened to, by mistake, the knife slipped and a gourd got cut at the same time, devei hakol ksheira. Everyone's going to agree that the paraduma is going to be valid because that was not intended, so that's not considered being involved with some other work. And moreover, in the Reisha, according to Rav Nosson, the reason is why it is a problem when it's nechtecha nishchat behema, which also happens by itself, that's only because, like we said, b'shachat eisa b'loy chaver te'ima. But that's because even if you didn't intend, according to Nosson, it's considered shechita, which that doesn't apply by a gourd getting cut. There's no oisa b'chaverta over there, and the only problem would be doing a malacha, which would be masich das, which you didn't have when it happened by itself. Therefore, that, again, is the teaching of Rav, relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah, which Rav Nosson, which the disagreement is the Rabban who disagree. And again, the chiddush of Rav was specifically to say that this psula b'oisa b'chaverta is even not just with another paraduma, but even with another chulin animal, according to Rav Nosson, even happens by itself, ultimately it was a shechita, and therefore it's a psul of Isa below Isa Bechaverta.